So one evening when we lived in Maryland, I was meeting a friend for dinner in Old Town Alexandria, Virginia. And I got there a bit early, so I decided to take a walk down King Street. And I was several blocks from the restaurant at which we were supposed to meet, when a man who most of us would assume was homeless, dirty, rumpled clothes, probably not seen a shower in a long while, came up to me and asked me for some money. I said I would be happy to buy him a meal or get him a sandwich or something from one of the many restaurants there on the street. And he said, oh, that would be great. But instead, would I buy him just some snacks and a soda at the store up the street? I said, well, whatever you want. But was he sure he didn't want a meal? And he assured me he didn't. And so off we went towards the store. As we walked, he told me his name was Arthur, and he asked me mine, and he chatted all the way to the corner store. When we arrived, I started in, assuming that he would follow me, and he stopped me and said, can you just go in and buy that stuff for me? And I said, well, why don't you come in and buy what you want? But he said no, and he insisted I go and pick out the stuff for him. He was very specific about what he wanted, and so I mentally jotted down his list, and in I went. There was a woman behind the register just inside the door who very warmly greeted me as I entered, and I headed to the back of the store where the refrigerated items were to get his soda. And then I started looking for the chips he had asked for, and apparently I was picking up the wrong kind, because the next thing I knew, Arthur was heading in the store to correct me with the nice woman hot on his trail, asking if she could help him with anything. No warm greeting for Arthur. I assured her that he was with me, and she gave me a look, and she went back to her station behind the register, not taking her eyes off of Arthur. We finally got his items. He wouldn't take any more than his initial request, no matter how much I tried to get him to take fruit or a sandwich or something. And we paid and left the store, all under the cold eye of the cashier. When we stepped out onto the sidewalk, Arthur said, "Thank you so much, kind lady. Can we have a dance?" And he opened his arms to me as if we were going to start waltzing right there on the street. I politely, and now regrettably, refused that dance. But then he asked me for a hug, and I did give him a quick hug, which on a busy street felt a little less embarrassing, although still with more than a little fear and trepidation of the fact that he was very dirty. We hugged. And off he went, dancing down the street. I now have no doubt it was Jesus I saw dancing away that day. In our gospel reading for today, the one thing the sheep and goats have in common is not that they deny their actions of helping or not helping, but rather that they are both surprised as to where they saw or didn't see Jesus. Neither group apparently expected to find Jesus among the poor, the hungry, the dirty refuge of their day. And not expecting to see him, they both failed to recognize Jesus in the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the person needing clothing, the sick, or God forbid, the person in prison. Those sheep might have fed, provided drink, welcomed, clothed, tended to, and visited, but they didn't see that that person whom they ministered to was, in fact, Jesus. Perhaps that not expecting to see Jesus in those situations, they didn't look closely enough. They were too quick to just provide some aid and then move on to the next person in need. Good deeds to be done everywhere. Those goats never even thought there was a possibility of Jesus being there. But oh boy, had they seen him, they certainly would have done something. Had we only known it was you. But wait, why would we look in those places? Why would we look in those places that we would find hungry, homeless, unknown criminals for Jesus? Even the beginning of our story is a little confusing, right? We hear, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Now that's how we might expect to see Jesus, right? To have Jesus come again, return as a great king. That's how we'll find him the next time, right? This is Christ the King Sunday, after all. Christ the King, not Christ the homeless guy, Christ the stranger, Christ the prisoner Sunday. But isn't this what God does all the time? Turn things upside down, surprise us with what we don't expect. I mean, after all, God didn't come to reign over humanity in Rome as a great and powerful king, but rather, surprise, God came to identify with us by being born in a lowly Bethlehem in the form of a vulnerable infant to poor parents. And God didn't come to conquer the world with military or political might, but instead, surprise, showing us that love does in fact win on the cross of all places. And so, of course, we should expect to find Jesus in the unexpected places, because God's compassion for us hasn't changed. Jesus continues to come where we least expect God to be, in the plight of the homeless, on the side of the poor, in the face of the needy, in the company of those in prison, in a man asking you to dance on the streets of Old Town Alexandria, in the overworked healthcare providers, in the teacher struggling to reach his students via Zoom, in parents trying to work and manage Zoom school, in that lonely neighbor. If we're willing to let go of our expectations of where we think we should find Jesus and live into the surprising reality of the God we know in the Christ the King we celebrate today, the one who comes not in power but in vulnerability, not in might but in brokenness, not in judgment but in compassion, then we're invited to meet God not in some distant eternal life, but here and now, in the everyday life, in the real needs of our neighbors, some of whom we know and some we don't. So always be on the watch for Jesus and expect to find him in the not so usual places. Amen.